means that the most frequent.
Oh, God.
They've been doing everything they can.
Definition of labor.
Yeah.
So she went in there.
Lou?
Yeah, that's my reaction.
Yeah. And maybe.
As usual.
She's like, I thought I would ask you that.
Yeah. Scan that and send it to me.
She was the one.
I don't know if you were still fully with it.
Hello, everybody.
I mean, what else would you do? Get a bat? Are you kidding me? I have a couple of seats I can see. Oh, it's tricky.
It's not tricky.
Hello, everybody. Let me call the meeting to order at 6:08 p.m. Introductions and roll call. Starting with Mary, please.
Mary Brown, Mission Hills.
Tammy Rattler, Mission
Hills.
Singleton.
Jim Walsh, Rankers Hill.
Julie Hyde, Uptown.
Matt Driver, University Heights.
Matt Wallstrom, Hillcrest.
Glenn Brand, Hillcrest.
Susan White, Bankdale.
Mary McKenzie, Hillcrest.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as is? And the rules of order?
I'll move it.
I second.
Tammy seconded. So the agenda is approved. Then, do you have a secretary?
The minutes were attached to the agenda, the minutes from the June 4th meeting. I hope everybody had an opportunity to review them. Are there any changes or corrections? Okay, hearing none.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the June 4th meeting? Mary Brown?
Second.
Mike Singleton, second. All those in favor? Unanimous. Chair abstains. Treasurer's report.
Okay, treasurer's report. Currently, we have $8.95 in our town planner's bank account, so we've done very well spending just about everything we have.
So we can't get beer or ice cream afterwards?
No, nope. I don't know. Maybe a chocolate shake or something. Once the new board is seated, this account will be closed, and that remaining $8.95, it's my understanding, that is to go back to the city.
Correct.
That'll balance their budgets.
There you go.
We wouldn't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
All right, for the Balboa Park Committee application, Mike Singleton, any updates?
I haven't heard anything back from the city, but it's not unexpected since this board. So I'm sure they're waiting for the new board to get placed. And if I manage to get on that board, then I'll push to start getting on the Balboa Park Committee with them.
Perfect. And then, although not a representative of Uptown Planners, we have Mayor McKenzie, who is the 3rd District appointee. Any updates, Mary?
No, actually, Mike, I'll speak to you if you want, because I was late to the meeting and you were there the whole time. Do you have any big, there was nothing big happening.
Well, the biggest thing was the World running championships that's going to be here next September. It's a very, very large international event. It will be
huge.
On a very high level. There was concern in the previous Belleville Park Committee meeting that not everything had been worked out. It was kind of a problem that they didn't give the materials out to the board so they couldn't vote on it previous month. But if they didn't vote on this one, it would be a real embarrassing black eye for the city to turn down something that was internationally recommended for San Diego. So they are not going to close Park Boulevard off at all. There'll be a lot of different races, mostly on the West Mesa side. They made commitments to pay the museums for any lost participants that they would get because of the large event happening. But it'll be internationally broadcast. It's a really big deal. So they'll have marathon, half marathons, 10K, 5K, the mile, all types of different ones. And there'll be a very large, all of those events, there's going to be a public component of it too that you can run in. So it'll be a pretty big event. That'll be off in September. That was the biggest thing.
September of 2025.
2025, correct, yeah.
And what's it called?
I think it's just the World Championship Running event.
Street running?
Is it?
Street running? Didn't they call it street running?
Yeah, I guess just that there won't be any cross-country running in it, so maybe they did call it that.
Do they have dates?
Yeah, there are dates. I don't remember what they are. They're more like the middle of September, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, of course, is the design center is going up. The International Design Week,
right? There's the International San Diego and Tijuana are co-hosting the International
right.
Design.
And so they are currently. I was just there today. They are currently building their design center right in Panama Plaza, and there's going to be a huge event. I think the 17th of this month at the park at the Orchard Pavilion.
It's a pretty big structure we're putting out there.
Hmm?
It's a pretty big structure.
It's huge.
It's a tempered, movable structure.
Yeah.
To act as a canvas for various interactive displays, lighting, graphic visuals, and as assembly place for lectures, performances, workshops, and more. It goes until November of 2024.
I just have a quick question for both of you. I noticed attached to the agenda was the Balboa Park stakeholders updates.
Mm-hmm.
Was that from Balboa Park Committee, or did one of you write that?
No, that was from, I think the vice director or the of Balboa Park.
Okay, great, thanks. It was a good summary.
And we did get compromises on the 6th Avenue roundabout from city staff. The board didn't really have to vote too much on it, but we made certain recommendations, and they're going to add landscaping to it. They're going to consider potentially not having bikes come up on the sidewalk, but that's still a question mark in my mind. There are several of us with the Bankers Hill Project Review Committee that are doing this, and the city invited us to come down there sometime soon. But they voted to approve it with some of the compromises that we've discussed. I'm still pushing hard for the two-way streets for the segments of Juniper that's just the one block into the park and also on Quince to get those to allow traffic to come in instead of blocking them off with just one way. That'll help distribute traffic better, and certainly Bankers Hill's efforts these days is to try to get the south end of West Mesa much more activated in the new future facility. So would allow people to get right into that area quicker at this point, so.
Anything else? Thank you. Airport Noise Advisory Committee, John Barney is not here, so no report. CPC representative report, Matt.
Okay, well, it was a light schedule this month for July, which was nice because the previous two meetings had run long. I informed them it would be my last meeting as the official representative for Uptown, and they would have somebody else, who would be from the new group the next time that they have a meeting, if they actually send anybody. two items that were on the agenda were an action item on recommendations for changing the STR ordinance. That was the same presentation that was made to the city council. We approved it unanimously. Our city council members said, oh, this isn't a problem. None of this is a problem. So, pretty much par for the course. Then there was an update. We did approve also a change to environmentally sensitive lands, the land development code update. Basically what had happened was there was a provision in there about changes to ESL lands needing to be a process 5. For some reason, several years ago, when they changed it, they deleted it. They didn't notice anybody about it, and they themselves didn't realize it. And it took somebody with an eagle eye to read it and say, oh, gosh, why was this taken out? And so basically, long story short, we also voted unanimously for them to restore it because there was no rhyme or reason or record of why it was ever deleted. Because they had changed it to, it's just a process 2. Anyway, so now any changes to ESL are supposed, and the city planning department is supposed to implement them. We'll see. But it goes back to it being actually having to be decided by the city council whether to change that status. Oh, go ahead.
For us acronym challenged people, could you define STR and ESL?
Yeah.
What those initialisms are, STR and ESL. Could you tell us what the words, what the letters stand for?
Oh, well, yeah, STR, short-term rentals.
Thank you.
Sorry. And then ESL, I said it was environmentally sensitive lands.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Chair's report, short. Everyone's aware that the City Council approved the Hillcrest Focus Plan Amendment and the University Plan Amendment to the EIR and Blueprint of San Diego at their meetings in July 30th. None of the requests made by this integrated into opening it up to non-agenda public comment. Please.
I've got three things. Thank you for your service. Don't just disappear into the void. If you want to continue being active, there's all sorts of issues out there. One of them that is very current that nobody's going to notice. And because the timing groups such as yours probably will not act on it because it's August. But the city planning department just put out an email about land development code update. And I was at the CPC meeting a few months ago. There was a presentation, and I asked the question of the presenter, who can submit requests to amend the code? And he said, anybody, okay? So you can do it as individuals. You're not gonna be able to do it as a planning group. The next planning group, I'm sure, is not gonna do it. And besides that, the deadline for submission is September 15th. So if you don't like the ADU, whatever, the granny flats or how much space is allowed or not allowed between your land and the next building or something, you as an individual can submit a request to amend the code. I don't know where it'll go, but that's one of the issues. Another issue, obviously, is the 1,000-person homeless shelter. I've been to all the meetings, plus some meetings, where the city council talked about that. There's been some really good presenters. If you want to participate but not talk, you can go down there, and each presenter is only going to be allowed 1 minute. But you can donate your time to other speakers so that they can say something meaningful. You have to remain there so that you can be recognized to acknowledge you donated your time. But that's very important for the speakers. And one of the things to remember, they they've already been shell-shocked with all the reasons why not to approve it. But they're politicians. They have other constituents that are saying, get these homeless people out of my neighborhood. Do something. I don't care if it's 1,000 people sheltered. It's out of my neighborhood. Get them out of my neighborhood. So what's missing quite often from the presentations is solutions. They know it's, I think the majority knows it's not a good project, but they need a solution, not only politically, but practically. Where do you put these homeless people? So if you do speak, think about a solution. The last thing, I already said thank you for your service, and don't just disappear.
Thank you.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
But you. And actually, you could do more as an individual outside of this body. And if you do want to ever mention that you are on a planning group, I got a hint. Don't mention Uptown. Just say, when I was on a planning group, we'll get you further.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I'd just like to announce for what it's worth, and whether or not it will, you know, means to be seen how it goes, but I will be running for the replacement group as a renter from Hillcrest. And so, if you live in Hillcrest, I appreciate your support.
If you have friends in Hillcrest.
Thank you, Ben. Next is representatives of elected officials.
Hello, I can't have the right tie. Sorry. I couldn't find it. I was like, where is the sitter? Sorry, I'll take up. I'm the supervisor Monica Montgomery Steps office of District 4. Hello. My only update is that we are in our grant application process right now. So we have two grant offerings, the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program grant and the Community Enhancement grant, and this is for nonprofit organizations. So I'll leave my card with someone. Yes, I'll leave my card, and if you guys know any nonprofits, send them my way. Thank you. Joshua Dunn is my name. Yes.
Is it Eon Dunn or no?
I'm sorry, what?
D-U-N-N-E or?
D-U-N-A.
N-N.
Yeah.
Super. And just real quick, I would like to encourage Supervisor Montgomery to support Supervisor Lawson Reamer's desire to investigate and bring to heel corporate landlords.
Okay. Yes, that's a good one.
Can we not give a public private comment instead of public questions?
No, that's a public comment.
Are there any other elected officials? I would like the record to reflect. Thank you for coming. That no one from the Stephen Whipper's office or from the board's office or from the mayor's office has burdened themselves for coming and attending and thanking for over 50 years of service by Uptown Planners. I'd like to thank this board for their service. And so just note it for the record, please. Information items are done. Consent items are done. Action items. Number one, we received a request for support for the Susan G. Komen More Than Pink Walk, which is set for Sunday, November 3rd in Balboa Park. And they asked our endorsement for this event. This is one of their premier events in the city. And I would like to see if there's anyone who would like to make a motion that would make this endorsement.
I mean, it's a big event, and I would make a motion to provide a letter of support for Susan G. Komen More Than Pink Walk in Balboa Park on Sunday, November 3rd.
Second.
Yes.
Is there public discussion? Board discussion? Okay, vote on the endorsement for the Susan G. Komen More Than Pink Walk. All those in favor?
I'm sorry, just a point of order real quick. Were you going to ask for any public comment?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay, all right. I support it, yes.
Unanimous?
Chair abstains.
Then the next request was by the Uptown Community Planning Group, by Gail Freed, and Uptown Community Planning Group Election Committee, for Uptown planners to advertise the Uptown Community Planning Group's election and voting on the website, on our website, and notify all of our contacts of their election and their voting period and voting registration. So, with that, is there any public comment? That's all.
I looked at their website. It says this coming Thursday, August 8th, is the first point where they will send out ballot, or, you know, sort of do ballots out to people if they're going to vote electronically. And I think the election's on August 20th in person.
Right. So it goes from the 8th to the 20th, all electronic except for one at a church on the 20th in the afternoon.
Only 2 hours, 6 to 8.
Yes.
And you do have to register to vote in advance to get something back from them to approve you to vote in the neighborhood you say you're in. There's just some material you have to send in, so it's not a good idea. I think maybe on the day of the kiosk, you could show something there.
Correct.
They said you can.
Yeah. To register in advance, you have to go online and do the registration and submit your driver's license or some other proof of your residency in the area that you're going to vote. And then if you show up on election day, you can just show up with your ID, and that's they don't keep a record of it.
It does take some time to get approved online, I will say, too, because I submitted mine 4 or 5 days ago, and I still have not been approved.
I did mine a week ago, and I just got this
one. Yeah, a week ago? Yeah, yeah. So don't leave it to the last minute.
So do we have any motion to support this request?
You beat me too.
Just faster than
Tammy. Second. Mike seconds it. Public discussion. Board discussion. Mary?
Yeah, I'd just like to throw out a question to the board. Do we see a difference between sending out for them on our using our list versus having it on our website? Is there any difference to those two things that matters?
I think on the website, people aren't looking there for the updates. Except for like when there's a meeting, but as far as notice of anything, it's really more of the, hey, this is coming up or this is happening. I mean, this is, I know we've been asked by different groups in the past to reach out, but this is, this is quite a different scenario. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it, although I'm running. Go ahead.
Is there any reason that we wouldn't want to maximize voter turnout in any case by helping support?
No.
My
concern is simply a procedural one of how we've operated in the past. It's not any judgment about the content of it, but other groups have asked us to, get the word out about their events, and we have typically declined that. It's like I said, I can see both sides of it. Like I said, it's not about the content of it. But, I defer to the rest of the board.
What all does it entail?
Well, I think, what are you saying?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm talking out of turn.
There has been practice, but it's sui generis. It's new, it's novel, it's the only one-time thing. We'd say forget it, pass, let it go. It's consistent with history, so I would do it now.
What, to
I'm confused.
I don't know what you meant. I don't know what you meant by pass.
A few more words than possible, but no. I'm not gonna say it again.
John, I don't know what you meant by pass.
You mean, I said former versus, what do you mean? What's clear about that?
I think he was generalizing a changing of the guard, and it's happened before, and so we should pass it now.
Figuratively, metaphorically, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not literal.
It seems like there's two.
There you could have literal and not. I understand.
Like the one question being whether or not to advertise it, and the second question being email or website. And I guess I'm wondering why you couldn't. Should we, as a board, decide to advertise the election? Is there a reason we could only do one or the other?
That's a fair comment.
Those are the two comments
that I would call for the question.
I think as a community group, it's our duty to notify the community of what is going on. And so I think this is what is going on.
I don't disagree, and I wouldn't argue the motion at all.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because they're asking us to email, and obviously the website is as simple as updating it, so it has all the current information, right? But the email is something that someone needs to write, and what are you writing in it? Just, are they writing an email for us? Send it to the...
Do they just want access to your email list, or they want to write it and send it?
You just send it out.
As Gail said, that when she was on this board, she knew that there was the MailChimp, and that we should notify everyone on the MailChimp about their election. The way I understand the motion is that it is both to put it on our website, and if we have someone that is available to send it out to our members, that we do just notify them to register and to vote and encourage them to vote. Is that right?
And she put it in her letter, and I have to say that, you know, I wrestled with it a little bit too, just because I was like, huh. But I finally came to the conclusion that everybody's talking about is we want to get the word out to the community so that everybody votes, because there are a lot of people we want to support, so. Mm-hmm.
It just leaves a bad taste in
it. It does. She even put in her letter, you know, bad taste. Why we add some...
We're recognizing what the enemy is like. You got to do it. Yeah.
I did ask her to...
We know you voted for us once.
Didn't say anything about adding who you should support in the email.
So,
just kidding.
It doesn't say you can't.
It's not a waiver on a litigation
decision. Right.
Okay. You just take those on the board that are running and no one lists them.
Good. Yeah.
Good.
Is there any further discussion on the motion?
Are we clear? Yeah, I mean, because I think Dylan's question was fair, so I just want to make sure the motion's clear. For the minutes, we're doing the vote.
Yes, okay. To support, to notify on the update of the election and the voting procedures, or the referencing them to Uptown CPG's website for information on voting and registration, and to send out to those on our MailChimp the notice of the election and refer them to the website for registration.
I do have one thing. I think it'd be good to have an intro that, because a lot of people don't even know that the election was overturned. So I do think there needs to be an explanation. The city council voted to make the board more diverse, so you gotta go through the motions again, and please register to vote, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
otherwise it
doesn't
make sense.
Yeah. I think a lot of that can be taken care of because it's already explained on their website for more information.
I was offering an amendment, which you can accept or not.
I would like to second the changes. And the changes would be that we would at least initially explain that this
is a new election, as opposed to, because everyone that's on this email list has already gotten the same email back in March, right?
Correct.
I just wanted to...
Do you disagree?
Do you second the amended motion?
I don't know. I don't know.
Simply because the name of the group is very similar.
Yeah.
Even gets people more. So seeing Uptown Planners and then seeing...
I still don't know the name of the list. I forget every time. I'll check my list.
Uptown.
Community planning.
Mary?
Yeah, I mean, if we do that, the only thing I disagreed with what you said, Tammy, was that you said they did it because of diversity.
Well, I mean, list the reasons that...
I don't think we should list any reasons.
I say we will replace by a Uptown Community Planning Group, which award has to be seated for that group.
That's really more what I meant. I don't want to cite any specifics.
Support anything.
If everyone is comfortable, I'll write a little message.
Yeah.
And have it sent out. Further discussion on the amended motion? All those in favor? All those opposed? No oppositions, passes unanimously, Chair abstains. Public Facilities Committee report and request for approval of cap priorities capital improvement projects through the 2030s as requested by the city of San Diego. Chair Tim Ratliff and Mike Sibleton, co-chair.
Thank you. Mike has some capital improvement. Things that had been proposed in the past that we included, and we had 14 uptown residents show up. 15 if you count my husband, but he wasn't listening. luckily we had Mike on this group because he knows what he's doing, and he's going to take it from here, but I just want to say that I was really excited about this. This is why I had joined the board, because I really wanted to make sure that all of Uptown was cohesively connected and had some relationship to one another, not division. I really like the idea of having something that brings the whole entire community together, and parks and facilities and mobility does that. Mike?
As a CIP project, it means that the city is going to have that as a project that they would fund or use a grant to fund, but they would be the ones in charge of it. And they do have a 5-year schedule of starting to get ideas of projects and then moving into something that can be funded later. So that's why it's on a 5-year cycle, so it's 2025 to 2030. You have to kind of think of this almost like you're a farmer and you're putting seeds in the ground, because they're really only seeds at this point. But if you don't put a seed in the ground, you get nothing to grow. So I think the intent of this was just to hear from the community some things that they feel that are needed within the community. I would say that this was all quite a rush, because we didn't think that the city was going to accept this group's input on it.
So we didn't really.
Yeah, so we didn't really, weren't able to do it in this meeting. And originally the deadline was the end of July, but then they gave us an extension of another 15 days, right? 15 is when it's due.
Individual survey request returns was August 1st, and groups was August 15th.
Yeah. So that's why we're bringing it back here. Originally we were just meeting to do this, and we were going to send it into the city, but it's an opportunity today to kind of go through them as well as see if there's any additional ones that should be added, and we can get them in there and still get it into the city. So I think maybe the best way, and I don't know if, does anyone in general have some additional things they would like to add to the list?
Is there a list that goes with this that we can
Well, see? I didn't print it out because that was sent to you.
It's on the website, okay. On the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, we sent out the spreadsheet and PDF of all of these. I didn't, my little printer couldn't do 25 copies of 10 sheets. So.
And I just had a question too, and so with the additional information, were there more areas besides just Mission Hills and University Heights? I just wasn't clear on why those were the two areas.
No, it's in the spreadsheet, there's three tabs on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So you probably didn't click on the other tabs. So each of the areas have something, with the exception of the medical complex, because I don't know enough over there, and to me it's like, UCSD should be doing everything over there in the public realm anyway, as mitigation to their own project. But anyway, everything else had something. So if you guys want to take the time, I'll quickly explain the projects to you. And they are in order of priority. There was five of us there on the board that voted on them. And so they're in a prioritization list. So I'd be happy to do that if everyone wants to hear what these projects actually are.
It might take a while.
Yeah, I'll talk fast. I don't have to get in a lot of detail. But on the map, you can follow along with the number itself. So I'll start at Bankers Hill. It is interesting. I've never seen it before, the acres for each of the neighborhood areas.
Nice.
So I just did this map myself and came up with the acres. But not all the areas are quite the same size, nor are they quite the same mixture of land use or population. Each area is quite a bit different. So in Bankers Hill, at least, we've been pushing for quite some time, we in Bankers Hill, to try to get the city to fund a planning study for the West Mesa to identify what can be done there and what should be done there. So that was the first topic under B1. B2 along Maple Canyon, there's no sidewalks on one side of the street where everyone tends to walk in the street. And so that's was just adding those sidewalks there. B3 was in the latest focus plan for Hillcrest. It did identify the requirement for two community centers. And these could be multi-generational centers, like a senior center, youth center, child center. But they can also be a recreation center to support recreation activities. Our group has been starting to push for using the old fire alarm building as a community center with a recreation center built next to it. It's a very underutilized part of that park. So we put that one in there as the third priority. I already mentioned before the two-way traffic on Quincy Juniper, that's B4, B5. And this is one that we put in a lot of different areas to meet with all the traffic that is likely to happen in the future. And in the past, developers had to pay for traffic improvements when they had an impact on traffic flow. To me, this should be something paid for by development that occurs, because they're the ones pushing it over the top for congestion. But intelligent and linked traffic signals just means that there's intelligence in the signals. They won't sit there green with no traffic, and they'll always adjust to let the maximum flow go through there. I think all of Uptown needs that, and it's justified for doing something like that. So for now, it'd just be a study. How would you do that? Where would you place things? And how could it improve the flow of traffic throughout Uptown? B6, it's just a small little thing that our group has been pushing for. The new restroom buildings on West Mesa, they aren't so great in terms of looking at all the stalls from one side, so we were just having some type of semi-transparent screen that would be away from a little bit, so as you're walking down the walkways, you're not looking into the bathrooms. A simple little thing. Street lighting priorities along 6th Avenue, it's very dark in Bumble Park, especially for those folks that even walk along the parallel sidewalk to 6th Avenue, it's dark. And that's crazy, because that's a great place to walk all the time. And then, in general, the 6th Avenue was a spot where, under B8 on your map, was a route that was going to use 6th Avenue in the future, but the city had, or MTS hasn't prioritized that until 2050. That's a long ways off. We think it should be, the concept of it should be worked into plans now, and it came up as a result of the 6th Avenue roundabout, which would be plopping something right where the streetcar line is intended to go through. The difference between a streetcar line and a trolley system is trolleys are always separate. You don't allow cars to drive parallel with you. A streetcar, the tracks are in the street, and so they're running with the flow of traffic. So there was one to come up 6th Avenue, but I think there's also a way to get it to come across University, go down Park Boulevard, and loop itself back in those areas. So that was just a further study to show how you can integrate it better. And then the last one was, a member of the city pointed out to us that there is a parcel down on the bottom of Laurel Street before you go under I-5 that is empty. What's that street? Actually is a city owned
Laurel.
And that could be a good entry monument for all of Uptown. And really, we should be seeing Uptown and then listing the neighborhoods as well.
There's
a lot of people that don't seem to understand these different neighborhoods are part of Uptown. And so it would be a plaza and an entry monument. It's a leftover piece of parcel the city has, and it could be used almost as a park as well as that entry monument. So that's the extent of the Banker Hills one. I think when you look at the map, you'll see a lot of it's in Balboa Park, even though Balboa Park isn't officially part of Uptown. It's still something that we need to influence how those things can happen.
Can I make a suggestion on the report, since there are six neighborhoods to cover, that we vote on each neighborhood as we come across it, or we discuss if anyone has any questions.
Good
idea.
Okay.
So any comments or additions?
Public.
Just real quick, the link in the agenda,
I think we must public first.
Only goes to two neighborhoods.
If you have the one that, did you send it out to everybody?
I sent it to you.
It doesn't attach Bankers Hill or Hillcrest or Newtown.
It should. If it's the Excel file you're talking about, again, they're tagged on the bottom. They're going to be two of the neighborhoods.
I will. I'll send this out to the board right now. So you can have it. So.
Are you asking for public comments?
Yes.
James,
I just have a question. Are the numbers next to the letters, because they're replicated in different locations, are they like equal priority?
Well, the order I read them in was in the priority order.
No, but I'm just saying, like in B, there's a B7 and B7. You know, there's more than one B7.
Yeah, that's usually when it's.
Are they the same priority on the list?
It's when there's a linear thing. So, like in Bankers Hill, the streetcar line goes from where
boundary. Okay. So it's the boundary.
Yeah, okay. It goes to the top. And
thank
bottom.
You.
And it's the same case over in Mission Hill.
Thank you.
And no one had any additions then on the board?
Any comments?
I know it's not in here, but I've always wanted to find out why. When you're going down 6th, Quinn Street, you used to be able to turn right and get in on Balboa, and that just went away and it's never come back.
Yeah, that's the B4 on
the
board.
Oh, it's on there? Okay.
Yeah, I have it for both Juniper and Quince, both.
To be able to drive through?
To drive in.
Okay.
They were designed as two-way streets. They need to go back.
Mm-hmm. That was always my wonder. Thank you.
Any other?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a general observation about these, just for reference. The development impact fees that fund these are supposed to be spent on capital improvement projects in the same proportion which they are collected. And in Uptown, they are, you know, when you do the breakdown of the percentages of the fees the developers pay, it's only like 8.7% for mobility, 0.9% for fire rescue, 2.2% for libraries, and 88.2% for parks and recreation, because that's what we're most efficient in. And so I think that we should properly weight them and have the first priority for each neighborhood, at least, be for parks and recreation. And Again, the only capital improvement projects which have alternate revenue streams are mobility projects. There are no other dedicated sources to fund the other three sectors. There's no other fund for libraries, no other fund for parks, zero for parks. But you know, for mobility, there's you know, a vast array of alternate revenue streams for them that flow from federal, state, and local sources. So, I mean, you know, we see them present transportation and mobility projects. They, you know, before they approve them without us even being here, they go right ahead with them. So, I mean, I the problem with us recommending capital improvement projects for mobility in general is that the city will then take what limited money we have for parks and everything else and say, okay, great, thank you for the money, and now, you know, and use that as a backstop to fund, you know, mobility projects that they have planned anyway, and then they don't bother with doing anything about the fact that, you know, Hillcrest has no parks of any kind, among other things. So it's just in general something that I think we really need to keep in mind. You know, when we get into individual neighborhood discussions, I can, you know, I'll contribute. But that's just kind of the general overview I would like to offer.
Two additions to that. One is that there's a park impact fee category. They do put that money into the park fee category for developer impact fees. Unfortunately, the city went with a citywide use of park fees, so it's not a guarantee that all that money will stay here. As a matter of fact, pretty much assumed that 50% of it's probably going to go away. But the remaining part that is here, the other criteria besides disadvantaged communities is any community that already has a deficiency and is experiencing or will experience major growth. So those are three things that will help this community out. But the most important thing is to constantly be reminding the city that we're short. You need to spend that money here. And so I think most all of the ones that I have in here have some park element associated with them. So, and they should not be able to use the park impact fee on any mobilization infrastructure or mobility projects. They are supposed to be kept separate. Yeah.
Hopefully you make a new board.
Pinky swear.
So,
yeah.
Is it possible then incorporating Matt's suggestion as making priorities in the parks on these and then filtering on down to the mobility issues? If the board votes for that.
Yeah, like in this one, we've got Bankers Hill covered really well. I think Hillcrest, the number one item was to take the, there's several sites shown in Hillcrest in the parks map or in the Hillcrest focus plan that need to be implemented. So I think that's on the top of the list.
Right.
But we'll double check on that.
Susan?
Would this be an appropriate thing? I'm with the CIP. Water at the park, is that something that would become, as a water faucet breaks at the park, it's just gone. Because of that, they don't have the proper plumbing in. I'm a volunteer with the trees over there. In order for us to water our trees, we have to drive over into the park, pick up a hose, bring it back, and then find an attachment that we could hook it up to. And we have to we have to go to the bridge club, get their permission to use their faucet in order to come around and water the trees behind it. If they have the water system fixed the way it should be, I shouldn't have to run over to the Museum of Art to get a water hose.
Is that not on the list of their priorities?
I don't think it was. Yeah.
It wasn't on our list, yeah.
Right, well, that's because Belleville Park is a separate list. Oh.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, and it wouldn't probably be, it may not be associated with the CIP project unless it's like a major change to the irrigation systems to improve efficiency. And, you know, really, all the trees you plant that are in lawn areas shouldn't have to be watered beyond its short.
These are the ones trying to bring back to life after the drought.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the irrigation system's not very good, so.
Well, that's what I'm, if we could.
Yeah, that would fall a little bit more on the maintenance side of things than the CIP project, unless it was a wholesale one for all of West Mesa to change the irrigation system to make it more efficient.
Any other discussion on Bankers Hill and the recommendations from the committee? Then do I hear a motion to approve the Bankers Hill portion of the priority for the capital improvement project through 2030?
So moved.
Second. Susan? Public comment? Board comment? Board vote? All in favor? All opposed? Unanimous? Chair abstains. Thank you.
I have a meeting tonight where everyone is unanimous.
I know, right?
We're complacent. Next up. And I did send out to everybody the email, and if you look at the Excel spreadsheet, it will have the different tabs.
Okay, so for Hillcrest is the next one. The top priority in our group was the Normal Street Joint Use Facility, which would be a community recreation center. It was listed by someone else's comment in the 4100 block of Normal Street, but it's, you know, gets up more towards Washington Street and closer to University Heights. So a lot of times when you talk about the expense of a community center, sometimes it's good to put them a little bit on your edge of the community so it can help, like the one in the south end of West Mesa would also service downtown, and the one up this way would service University Heights and Hillcrest. So that is a park related one. The second one is not necessarily park related, but it was with the Normal Street Promenade project itself, and with the focus plan's effort on a cultural district, especially centered on Normal Street, it was to make sure that there's some input into DMV and other community projects to make sure they include public art and culture in those projects. So that's what H2 was on there. H3 is any of the potential parks, pocket parks, plazas that are listed in the Hillcrest focus study to meet the major deficiencies in parks in Hillcrest. So it's number three, but it's actually tied to number two. I can switch those two around, make it number two without changing the prioritization vote because they're tied. And then number four is also the idea of intelligent and linked traffic signals like we talked about. H5, there's that very small triangular area that is not Caltrans owned on University Avenue, just across the other side on the southwest corner of the bridge, that some people have tried to contribute to in the past and get it up and going. This would make it more of a permanent plaza space itself and have it on the city's books for maintenance. So that's also park related.
Can you say where that is again, please?
So you just go right out here, going across the bridge on University, on the left-hand side, on the far side of the bridge, there's a fenced off area. It's a triangular shape that's right on the edge of the freeway. And it has been something we've tried to improve it anyway, but it's, from my understanding, it's the city of San Diego property.
Yeah, it's directly across the street from the fire station.
You probably wouldn't even notice that it's anything. Yeah. There was a homeless camp in there for a little while, and then for a while some benches and plants in there. It's kind of.
That's the HBA
was
there for a while,
at
least.
Yeah, I think they were volunteering to do something there.
Well, I think they actually put stuff there too.
Yeah, but it's not in that good a shape. There are a few things that were added to it. But to make it into a full small plaza park that would be under the city's management responsibility.
Yeah, they would call it a park.
Yeah, you can only go into it at a certain time. Is it locked every day? Or I'm not even sure.
Anytime I walk past it,
it'll
be locked.
Yeah.
The only caveat I would add to this is that it be restricted from dogs, because if this is allowed to have dogs in it, I can guarantee you that's pretty much all it will be used for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can add that note to it.
How many dog parks do we have in uptown?
I mean, really, you can only count the one in Balboa Park.
That's it.
There's nothing over in 12th
there's the one at Park and El Cajon.
Right. University Heights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one in Park is right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They fixed it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pioneer Park gets used like they don't park.
Yeah, and the other comment I would make about that is actually the normal street promenade is not going to be a park. They want to call it a park, but it's actually a stormwater and transportation improvement. The whole thing's under the stormwater department. And I mean the management of it is basically going to be under private management by the Hillcrest Business Association, which can make it off limits after hours. They
make it off limits for special events.
Yeah.
That would be the only reason for that.
So yeah, it's going to be, yeah, we want to make sure that, yeah, if there is something, any cultural improvements, access to, for the north, the DMV cultural, and for the joint use facility, we'd have to, make sure that they have access to them and it's not closed off.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, the last development plan for DMV had a fence around the entire thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I oppose that too. So.
Okay. Going back to your report, to H6.
Yeah, H6 is just I think we, and maybe the parking district takes the lead on this, but there should continue to be analysis of all streets for anything that can be increasing on-street parking. Whether it's angle parking, head-in parking, or there's a lot of curb cuts around that don't go with anything anymore, and those just need to be filled in so you can park there. So it's just really recognizing that parking is still a problem in Hillcrest, and the public street should continue to be looked at for some opportunities. And then the last one I had was just, again, the further analysis, the electric streetcar that would come through Hillcrest as well. So really when you look at it, there's four items on there that are park related. So I think Hillcrest we've got covered. I will move H3 to H2 just to get it a little higher on the list. But I think we've got Hillcrest covered a lot, especially when it says, you've got a lot of ideas in the focus plan, implement something, please.
Do I hear a motion to approve the Uptown CIP prioritization process for Hillcrest?
Can we do, I guess you saw those were comments?
Pardon me?
I had a comment. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But I don't know if you wanted to.
Public comment.
I had a question about the arts and culture piece that you spoke to. I'm a little confused. Were you saying that the proposed center that would go up in Hillcrest has an emphasis for arts and culture, or? Can you just speak to that again?
Yeah, it would just be, most of the agencies, the city included, and MTS and SANDAG, they never do anything for public art, they never do anything for culture. The design guidelines for focus plan do include some requirements for development to do something related to cultural district.
Okay.
But the rest of the public space, including everything that's going to happen on North Street Promenade, does not have that much in terms of cultural exhibits or public art. SANDAG wouldn't pay for that. HBA couldn't really come up with enough money for most of that. There will be some ways of getting money in the future, but I think it's just saying, let's make sure we don't keep forgetting about culture and public art in general. So, and it would be in public spaces, public right-of-way or public spaces only.
All right, thank you.
Warren.
Can we clarify the relationship between this list and the historic piece of the Uptown Community Plan and whether right now we should be trying to incorporate the sites listed in Hillcrest for preservation on a historic basis in the Uptown Community Plan as parks or recreational, we should wait and implement them separately or recommend separately locations to have those kinds of facilities for arts, culture.
Well, unfortunately, since even though they're on a list for being potentially designatable, the city didn't run through any real process with each of those. So each of them will only be reviewed for its potential historic nature when someone has an application in for doing something on the site. And then that will determine the final determination on if it can be designated or should be designated. So it's hard to identify. Things that are on that list, most of them are on that list because the public said that might be something.
Yeah.
But until it gets through that study, you can't really say anything on that. Now, certainly we could put some language in there saying for those properties that have are identified to being potentially historic, maybe that's where some of the public improvements should be more on the cultural aspect to pay for some of that. But in general, the CIP, you know, a private development is not a CIP project for the city. So it has to be in public land, I suppose, in some case, to do that.
So this would not be the right time to use something like a CIP recommendation to try to create another way to preserve or create a public space where there might be historic sites.
Yeah, I think that's still going to come from the design guidelines and the focus plan, because it does say that a developer has a responsibility of, along certain streets, to do improvements in the street for culture and history and public art. Anyway, so, but there's only two streets that are identified, University Avenue and some, I guess, in the core of Hillcrest, there's some lines on those streets too. So some of that will be paid for by private development in the public realm. It'll be picked up that way.
Thank you.
Mary?
Yeah, and this may be totally not the place to bring this up, but one of, is traffic, are traffic recommendations part of the CIPs?
There are some that show up in Mission Hills.
Okay, so.
Middletown.
So on 6th Avenue, and this is very personal, this affects my community, not only my community, but it does affect my condo community. On 6th Avenue, between Robinson and Upas, there's the little street Brooks, right, that doesn't go through 6th Avenue, right, where the mortuary is or was, I'm not even sure if it's still there. There's a new design center right there. But anyway, that place is extraordinarily dangerous because too many people want to cross 6th Avenue and not go to the corner. So they cross to get to Brooks, because they're lazy, right? And so there's been a number of calls that I have heard, nothing formal, to do a yellow thing, the yellow lights and stuff, at that exact point of Brooks and 6th. So I'm just throwing it out there.
So again, the streets that you define the area in, you say Robinson and some.
Yeah, it's just south of Pennsylvania,
right.
South of Pennsylvania, and that Brooks starts at 5th, so that's the dangerous part,
yeah.
And they've done really nothing to stop it, and I don't know how to find this information. Maybe somebody's a good researcher, but I have been told it has a very high number of accidents because people aren't looking for people crossing there.
Yeah,
so.
I would write it up just to do a 6th Avenue pedestrian safety and traffic calming project. I'd go all the way down to Upas and all the way up to at least Robinson. I think it slows down a little bit after, or maybe Pennsylvania.
It's,
well,
it's changing as we speak. I mean, it's that whole area is totally impacted now. By what the city's doing.
Yeah, so I think that's a good one to add to.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just refer to the traffic calming and pedestrian safety project and to have them analyze that whole thing. What they do.
Great.
Thanks.
Any other board comments? We have a motion to approve the prioritization process for progress.
I make a motion.
Second it.
Motion to that right now. Public discussion? Board discussion? Board vote? All those in favor? All opposed? Passes unanimously. Chair abstains.
Okay, the next one is Middletown, and the first one on the list was pedestrian improvements at the Washington, San Diego Avenue, and India Winder and Andrew Street. So those are all in that area. There's a lot of fast-moving traffic there. And if you want to it's up with like commit suicide across that crosswalk that goes heading onto the on-ramp because people take that at 30, 40 miles an hour sometimes. So it's like three different or four different locations where there's intersections where there's some problems down there. And that did come from some of the community members in that area. The MT2, I changed that now because that city parcel is actually in Bankers Hill. Middletown stops just short of where Laurel Street is down there. So it's on the Laurel, it was on the Bankers Hill one. So I'll scratch out the MT2 on this list. They have, on most of the streets down there, it came up to have more sustainability and safety improvements within street limits on several of those streets, but most of them along San Diego Avenue and India Street that comes through that location. So that's just a general traffic calming and public safety. Doing the parking study for all the streets there to find any more parking, that's MT4, MT5, is to look at, so that was really all we had over there in Middletown. If there's any additions to it, I'd like to add some more for Middletown, but most of us use that area either for the restaurants or the drive-thru or pretty fast, so it's mostly neighborhoods with a contrast of restaurants and high activity levels and a few spots.
Because that's where India is, the north part of India.
India Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's included in just looking at all the streets for public safety improvements.
Public comment? Word comment?
Yes. I think all of the main arteries that lead up the hill for pedestrian needs to improve. Pedestrian access needs to improve. There's no sidewalks.
Oh, okay,
on
there's no sidewalks. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I think it ends up going into Mission Hills, but it starts in Middletown.
So pedestrian walkways on
anything that takes you from San Diego Avenue up, or even down, I guess.
The streets heading into the hill or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a park in Middletown? And my understanding that the meeting that you had was that the carpet cleaning place, that whole area would be a park. Do you have that as Mission Hills?
It's Mission Hills, yeah.
Is it Mission Hills or
technically?
It is.
Really?
I thought it was Middletown.
Majestic?
No. Majestic Park, that's University Heights.
No, Majestic.
Cleaners.
Oh, the cleaners, yeah. No, that's Hill. That's Hill. That's all
Mission Hills.
That's South Mission Hills. It seems like a lot of people, and I was guilty of this too, living in Mission Hills, thinking of Mission Hills being mainly on its north end, but the south end goes all the way down Renard Way, all the way down to the bottom. It runs into Hillcrest. You can kind of see, not Hillcrest, but Bankers Hill at a point, but you can see where the dot is, M1, is where the Bell Street cleaner is. So that's where that Renard Park would be. So it is, that's why I like doing maps to overlay aerials so you can know exactly where these areas are. I don't think any of us here could pick every spot and say exactly what area it's in, but it's along the edges of it. So, and there's really not much signage even identifying those areas.
Especially when it's across the street.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other board?
Yeah, I just, you know, I see the votes on it. I just, yeah, I would feel more comfortable if, you know, the plaza concept was moved above the pedestrian safety improvements in Washington.
Yeah, just remember though that after I did the map, I found out that was in Bankers Hill. So that shows up on the Bankers Hill.
Yeah.
There is no land there. Under the street bridges, we just have to fight them.
Is there any park in Middletown?
No.
No.
But the Renard Way one is pretty centrally located for Middletown to use it. And based on the size of that park, it could be pushed to be all purchased and it could be a community-based park, which could have some substantial facilities. Or the developer could be required to at least do a neighborhood park there. So would be a lot smaller, but there's really, there's the big void for Mission Hill is all south of the university, basically. There's nothing down there.
Is that park area privately owned?
It's privately owned.
Yes, wow. I mean, I grew up there.
Yeah.
My entire childhood, it's looked the same.
Yeah.
But, exactly.
We had pushed in Mission Hills to try to get that the city to acquire it. But at the time, the owner of the property didn't want to sell it, but for a huge cost. But the realities are, we don't have many spaces that it costs you more to buy a property that has buildings on it and tear them down and put up a park than empty, unimproved lot. So it would still be cheaper to do it that way. But the city needs to put some money towards it.
Thank you for coming.
And that one has been talked about for a long time, so.
Well, maybe we can use the common mind space for a couple of seconds.
Can we stick with our
Sorry.
Do I have a motion for approval of the CIP prioritization for Middletown? Mary? Second?
I'll
second. I'll comment on the Middletown section of prioritization. Board comment. Vote all in favor of the motion. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Okay, Mission Hills is the next one, and there were quite a few people at the meeting for Mission Hills, so there were a number of them that were added as a result of that meeting.
You think so?
Well, it looks like we have 848 acres versus everybody else. Wow, that was the first time I've ever seen an acreage like that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Okay, so the first is a feasibility study for the Bernard Way Park that would require undeveloped private property to be purchased at 3532 Bernard Way. So again, that's a top priority as a park project that seems appropriate from that standpoint. M2 is to look at the West Lewis Business District and try to get something a little bit more of a center, including maybe public art and history panels. Some kind, maybe work into the bus stop that's right there, and to also recognize one of the original locations of Kate Sessions Nursery was right in that area, as well as the Michelle's Nursery was another spot. She kind of moved around quite a bit because she always got free space somewhere if she would plant trees.
She bartered everything.
Yeah. So when she planted trees in the area, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, your lease is up, go find somewhere else. M3 was, there's a possibility for a trailhead and some improved trail and interpretive signs right on Allen Road, which is where the trail goes all the way down into Mission Valley. It's been there for a long time and used to be used a lot more, but nothing's really identified there. So it's really just a kind of a trailhead. So that does count towards park requirements too, to be able to do a trail improvement like that. Then M4, both Fort Stockton and West Lewis, especially Fort Stockton, has some very tight constraints on the width of the road. And they've never really been able to put like a bike lane facility through there. And so the other problem is that a lot of the business components that are back on West Lewis and even further down the street towards the northwest, a lot of people don't know about because everyone takes mostly the Fort Stockton route. So considering the tightness and the need for some more parking, there is
the parks right there.
Yeah, and the parks, yeah, the schools, that you could make those two into a one-way couplet where you basically, when you come up from either Goldfinch or the next street over from Goldfinch, what school?
Falcon.
Either of those, you could then make it so from that direction down, it would be going Fort Stockton, it would be going eastbound only, and West Lewis would be going westbound only. You could then add a lot of angle parking on the streets, and on Fort Stockton, you could add a bike lane as well. So we're not saying that it needs to be done, but it should be studied as an option to see what the ramifications are. And it kind of ties into M5, which is a roundabout where Fort Stockton, Sunset, and West Lewis all come together. There have been some serious accidents there and some pedestrian, at least I've heard, there's one pedestrian fatality there. So one way of doing that is to get traffic to move slower, and that's what roundabouts are good for. it's a question mark as to whether or not you could fit it in there and still accommodate some of the driveways of the residences. But there's no reason why not to ask the city to study it. I had been approached a couple of times from folks in Mission Hills to lay out something. I was too busy at the time to do it, but I talked to some people about it, and it would be more like a traffic oval instead of a circle. And it would just be one of them, and it would allow you to spin out in each of the directions and force everyone to kind of slow down a lot more coming through that. So that was one that came up in the meeting as well. But then also further up on Fort Stockton, from West Lewis up to Witherby Street, there's still quite a bit of speed in that area. Again, the streets are wider over there, and that makes some people tend to drive faster. Whether or not it's a stop sign that would work, or other traffic calming, or better pedestrian crossings that are marked, or even the flashers on them. So that would be a stretch of improvements for traffic calming and public safety. And then one item that came up is, you know, the East End Entry Monument that's on Washington Street, even though I worked on that, it is in the wrong location. It really is the focus. So,
actually, it's an isn't it medical complex?
Okay. I guess it could be considered
medical.
Yeah, medical complex. So it really should have been more at Duff Street, where the dividing line is. But Ron Roberts is the one who got county money to pay for it, and that's where he wanted it.
So you mean like the big
the pilaster
place, you know, yeah, right there in Washington?
Is down a block to the east too far. But
it's sitting on the building of
its so for aesthetic reasons?
No, and we're not saying take it out, but the suggestion here is
I'm not suggesting.
Right.
Back to the history.
Right.
What was the motive? Why not? Why put it in the wrong place on the map?
It's
currently not in Mission Hills.
I understand that. And therefore, why is that not only allowed to happen?
I think it was because it was once considered to be Mission Hills, then it went over that far.
Ah.
And then
okay. Well, that answers my question.
Yeah, change.
Thank you. Historical.
But at the time the pilaster was put in, that boundary had already moved, but Ron wanted it further down to improve some of the medians into Hillcrest, basically. That's from my memory.
That's where the aesthetic part comes.
Yeah, but in this case, we're not suggesting moving it. But what could work for Mission Hills is that once you hit Goldfinch in Washington, that's really the center of both North Mission Hills and South Mission Hills. And maybe have more signage there about Mission Hills. And, you know, really from a business standpoint, it may not end up being a city CIP, but it could be privately funded. Most everyone else has an open road type entry monument of some kind. This is where you're at, like Monument, Hillcrest University Heights certainly do. And so that was just another thing we added there that maybe that could be an over the road on Goldfinch in Washington. So let the other one be a boundary one once you've entered into the area, but do something that Commission knows. But it didn't, you know, it's at the bottom of the priority list, so it's not quite as important as the other elements.
Is there been a lot of support for that from the Mission Hills community?
It came up in the meeting. So.
A lot of people in Mission Hills wonder why they don't have a sign. That's just what was brought up, and I said, well, there is a Mission Hills sign that the neon one at the building over there on Washington.
The Mission Hills Shopping Center.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But they don't. People that live in Mission Hills consider the heart of Mission Hills Mission Hills.
Right, yeah, it's off to the side now, and
it's
can't
on a building. You don't really know. I mean, people still come into our area and just wonder where they are.
Well, I was surprised at the number of people that were there from Mission Hills, and they didn't know the stuff south of Washington is South Mission Hills. They had the perception that it's only the north end.
Yeah.
And Bakers Hill doesn't have a monument of any kind.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, they would on the one that we had for Bakers Hill down. Laurel Street, that would be at least an entry point. So,
public discussion. Board discussion. Do I hear a motion to approve the prioritization process for Mission Hills?
So.
Moved by Julie, seconded. Mary? A discussion on the motion, public? Board discussion. Vote. All those in favor? unanimous vote. And then our last neighborhood would be
University Heights.
University Heights. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that everyone knows of some of the difficult safety problems with Park Boulevard, Normal Street, and Elkhorn, where they come together. And it's a daunting thing as a pedestrian to cross. And there have been lots of accidents there. So it's not specifying what should happen there. It really would have been a good place for a roundabout, to be quite honest with you, with different angles coming out of it. But there should be something done there to improve some of those public safety. So it's just listed as safety improvements at Park, Normal Street, Elkhorn Boulevard intersection. And then our second one was, even though I'm listing it as an active transportation project, I don't know if anyone's tried to ride or walk on Washington Street where it crosses over 163. That was designed as a freeway. You know, when they first built 163, they just extended this mentality of freeways onto the surface streets. And all those high-speed ramps that cars come off. I used to ride my bike to work when I lived in Mission Hills over to the office every day. And that really got my adrenaline up, trying to always watch for the high speed that comes in on your right-hand side. And,
right.
You know, I've got 50 years of experience cycling, and I was even nervous about that. So, but what it would be kind of a tough project in the sense that probably the off-ramps right there coming off northbound 163 would have to be adjusted. Or you have to do a small little bridge that crosses over that ramp and build it onto the slope. We also kind of listed it as saying the intersections at all three, at all those intersections along that, all the way from 9th, all the way down to, I guess that would be Normal Street, or Campus Avenue, actually. All those intersections need to be improved. Most of them only have three legs of a pedestrian crossing, or in some cases two legs, and that just means that, you know, you have to cross here, to cross here, to cross back over there. And they do that because of the problem with left-hand turns, usually, but the city has finally realized that you should give pedestrian safety a priority over moving traffic and make those that they are all four legs of it being pedestrian crossings. And then there was some discussion on Mystic Park. Mystic Park is the little leftover area between, you know, it's crazy that you head so far east on Washington to come all the way back again on the on-ramp to get to the freeway. I don't know why that is ever designed that way, but it's a tremendous waste of space there. Now, it is steep down in that canyon, but it doesn't mean that you couldn't fill some of that and make it work as part of a public park. You would have to have a safe access to that you're not crossing the ramps. And the reality is you should cut off and make an on-ramp much closer to the west when you're coming westbound. It shouldn't be that far. And then you could make it so that that's a pedestrian crossing. Or you could drop down a small pedestrian stairs that come from the Vermont Street Bridge into that area. So, you know, we're looking for all the types of areas where parks could be, and that is basically one of them. So it would just be a, you know, doing community outreach and concepts. There have been some concepts done in the past. And then the last one was just trying to do the first part of that, which would be to do the pedestrian access for part of it, to get trails, interpret signs, plazas, and native restoration. If you're going to leave it as a canyon like that, at least get it back to its native restoration part of it. So that's the four projects identified for University Heights. And I had tried to get a lot more information from other folks that know University Heights better, but didn't really, in that short of time, get too much input. So if anyone has any projects to add to this one, that'd be great.
Stu weighed in on this, though.
He weighed in on these?
Yeah.
Oh, then I didn't see that from Stu.
I thought so. Maybe it's just me.
Public comment?
I emailed him.
Okay.
Board comment?
We have to talk. As you were talking about all of the 163 on off ramps, I was reminded of a couple of abandoned or defunct on off ramps from the 163 throughout several different neighborhoods. And I'm wondering if an example is in Hillcrest at the end of 8th Avenue, right as it hits on the other side of Morrison House. There, if you go all the way to the end, there's a little paved
that bridge there, is that one of the markers?
Almost underneath the bridge, just south of it, in the residential area at the end of the cul-de-sac, there's just an overgrown continuation of the road.
It probably was, yeah.
And at the base of it, there's a big flattened, paved area that's large.
That's where, right now, there's a lot of homeless encampments there?
I live right on there, and I don't ever see anyone, but allegedly. I wonder if those kinds of things, if there are pieces of the 163 development that we could take a look at for camping or turning into something that the community needs right now.
Well, we can add a line on it that just says, work with Caltrans for any unutilized portions of the right-of-way or any city land that might be, if nothing else, overlook an interpretive panels or something like that. That, you know, they're really particular about not letting people get in those areas, but if they're truly excess lands, you might be able to get them to allow something like that. But Caltrans is a sub-agency with that or ask for things.
This is one that, you know, that really speaks to what I was talking about just in general. My recollection from the past is the support for the Mystic Park development. It's really been a priority and has been for our group for a long time. And I'm really worried that if it's not first, it definitely will not happen. I know it will also need the pedestrian, you know, improvements to get to it, but it's just an incredibly wasted space right now, and you know that would be a great park there, and it would be accessible, you know, for both, you know, University Heights and for Hillcrest, and you know it, right now it's, you know, you have it's just a homeless redoubt, you know there have been, you know, history of fires in it because there's no management, no brush management or you know, looking at it. So I would feel more comfortable if it were, you know, U3 and 4 were, you know, U1 and 2 and the others, you know, what have you.
I think I could probably find a justification you move U3 up, because that would have to be done first anyway. Or you could even add a pedestrian connection, you gotta figure out what could be done there and try to implement the first phase of it. But I could, you know, Matt Driver and Laura didn't vote on that. I could always send an email and ask them to vote on that and still be true to the other priorities that were in there and see if we can get it moved up one level.
To vote on moving it up in value?
Priority.
In priority,
yeah. For those two votes that were at zero in the
hierarchy. I mean, I would leave it still at its priority. I think that the type of upgrades that it requires, you got 160, you got the Washington Street on one side, there's no barrier there. So, you know, any accident can happen, can come right down the side of the canyon. If there's anybody down there, it's a huge problem. Same thing, the other side is the 163 on ramp. So, not only is it incredibly noisy, but it's bordered by two lanes of high-speed traffic. It just can't see how it could ever be safe or useful down there. More a priority, I think, for us would be fixing the bike lane and the pedestrian access to get across Washington Street Bridge, because it's totally unusable. You can't get from University Heights into Hillcrest or into the medical complex on Washington Street. It's just roadblock there. Traffic won't.
I know that impacts me.
Yeah. You have to deal with it too, yeah. It's a mess.
I wrote a grant for the HBA to try to study that area. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get the grant. I think it can work if you change the access point to be about half that distance, 163 to where the on-ramp starts. Half it and have it go across the canyon and take everything upward, then you wouldn't have, including
you wouldn't have all the high speed traffic,
including the ramp. Yeah, you reclaim that entire ramp and work that into a park there, so you'd only have
I mean, that's an expensive thing to do, but again, look how deficient we are in parks.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that would be nice too, but you'd have to work a lot with Caltrans, is you could make that area carries all the way down, and you could do some sort of a footbridge over the on-ramp, and you can follow it all the way down into Mission Valley, and it could be a nice little footpath down into Mission Valley and back up.
Yeah.
That could get you down there. It's one of the only places that it's not too steep. It's already at a lower grade.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're coming up the side of a cliff.
Well, that's the same thing that happened on SR-15. They put a facility on the edge of the freeway.
Yeah, they did it in Sedidas, they did that. There's a little spot, you drive along the I-5, and it's a great walking trail. Now you see, every time I drive by, there's dozens of people walking along.
Would you like me to add that as a project?
Maybe add that under the Mystic Park, yeah, improvement, and then I might be more inclined to bump it up the list. Yeah, little you know, walking trails are the same as parks to me, you know? And yeah. You're getting out in the open, and you're walking and enjoying the...
And I mean, I think that there's also, you know, potential for there to be, you know, under the road access, you know,
trails or something, you
know, from different places. Yeah.
Yeah, for those that may not know the history of the area, but under Normal Street by where the original Normal School was, there's a tunnel that went underneath that road.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. You can still find some marker on the two sides of it. Because it was the original highway that went through here, and a lot of people could get through a tunnel. You never do that now because no one likes going through tunnels. But back then they did. Maybe the best way to do it, instead of worrying about changing the priority, is now we have three things related to Mystic Park. And even though the individual points aren't really high, you got three of them now.
Yes. More desirable to look at. Yeah.
Further board discussion. Do I hear a motion for approving the prioritization of University Heights?
Motion. With
modifications. Yeah. Public comment?
I'll just say on the Mystic Park thing, this was looked at a decade ago by the community, by University Heights community, and part of that restructuring and everything was some of the stuff Mike talked about, moving the on-ramps that right now come in off of Washington further west to accommodate better traffic flow, putting in a sidewalk on the north side of Washington, which doesn't exist right now, and where the on-ramp would be, I think it would be above, and the sidewalk would go underneath it, mm-hmm. so it accommodate pedestrians and maybe a bike lane or something along there. So it was a combination of things, and then you'd have the space for the park, because the existing on-ramps wouldn't need to be there anymore because they would be moving further west, which would also accommodate the fire station on 9th Avenue, where it often comes down and has to do that more than 180-degree to get onto the freeway when it gets it. Be closer to them, and you'd have westbound traffic be able to maybe just go onto the on-ramp. Right now, it's traffic signals around where Lincoln is. Mm-hmm. It's a mess, so it would have solved a lot of problems. But it came down to money.
Weird. More discussion? All those in favor of approval as amended? Unanimous? Thank you. And Mike, thank you for a great presentation and all the time and effort that you and the community did in putting this and pulling this all together.
Mike did all the great stuff.
At least at this point, is it, one of our last things to do is our primary is to look out for the community and try to get some things to do. Because you could have fallen.
And you'll complete this and you'll send it in and you'll CC.
Before the deadline.
Okay. And just for the audience and just for the record is, again, we're doing this because the deadline for submission is before the new group will be even holding elections. So if we did not weigh in on it, no one would be able to weigh in on it. And it's, you never ever want to have a blank list for them. That guarantees that we will not have, you know, any input on what's going to be going on. So this wasn't us trying to preempt anybody.
Good clarification. Administrative action items, there are none. Chair reports, election and office inactive, operations and outreach.
No.
Public facilities, we just did. Design review, historic resources, none.
One thing on historic resources, just for information purposes, the Bankers Hill is trying to, has been trying for over a year to get the heart of Bankers Hill historically designated. The city doesn't do much in the way of historic designations for the districts anymore, so you have to bypass them and go to the state. And it did pass last week. It will be something. It doesn't really provide much protection or doesn't look like the requirements on property owners, so it's like a, why wouldn't you do it? There was a group out of San Mateo who is being nominated for a historic district that doesn't want it, or at least these people don't want it. And they took up probably an hour of the meeting and was filibustering. But they didn't really know anything about the Hillcrest area or the Bankers Hill area at all. But one of the panelists actually, the group was saying, this is nothing special here, there's really nothing here. But they didn't know too much about the history of it. And one of the members of the commission basically said, I put this as one of the top intact historic districts in California and even the West Coast. And he made that bold of a statement. Really, it is pretty intact, and there's a lot of famous architects. That group shut up after that.
So that was approved last Friday.
That's right.
And so what does it mean?
It means we can put up some signs saying it's historic district. It means if there's any project that would potentially wipe out homes, it has to go through a CEQA and a NEPA review. But that's really about it. There's some talk that it could get you a tax discount, but for anyone who has Mills Act already, you can't double dip. But some others that are contributing structures that aren't, designatable by themselves could maybe go through that tax break, but who knows.
Interesting.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have one question. We have an ad hoc committee for historic.
Well, as chair, I would like to say thank you to a great group of people to have worked with for my short term.
You did such a great job.
And thank everyone that's volunteered currently and in the past for Uptown Planners. We've been a real integral part of the community and representing the community. So thank you, and our term is officially over when the new board is seated on August 30th. So this will be our last meeting, and cause for sadness and cause for celebration.
I'd like to, I was hoping Sue would be here too, but Matt and you and Stu have been wonderful in steering us through this whole process. So I just want to recognize your guys' role as chair.
Thank you.
Thank you all for everything
you guys have
done.
So what do you say we don't put it in Hawaii and leave our
nameplates
here forever?
we're so excited.
We went down swinging.
Oh wait, we have to clean up ourselves.
What Stu did say, suggested that I run, he said that there's very little work to be done as chair, and he just went out alive.
Yeah, he knew better.
And so one other person we have to acknowledge is Saul.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like Saul every time.
Yeah, we're here.
So much.
But also the election committee in March, because that was really well done. So.
Thank you. You were our official.
Custodian of our intelligence.
Right. Yes, so
you guys got out hundreds of people to vote, whereas they don't even have 50 registered.
I think they have heard of 100.
They have 100 registered now. Can I register something? I want to put in there how disgusted I am with the city. They didn't even bother to show up today.
There's nothing that says, hey, thank you for 20 years service, all you people that have been volunteering on this lawn.
And I'm just giving a lot of punishment, but when I finished my 12 years with Belleville Park Committee, I never got a letter. I just got, hey, oh, you've been replaced.
Yeah.
Well, technically, we have not even received that letter from the city that we're replaced. I've asked for it. They have not given it to us. But I know Susan, you asked to make a special motion.
Hmm? Which of the many? Oh, I want to move that we close this thing down. I want to adjourn.
Have a second?
Second.
Who's in favor? It's got to be unanimous, so I
I'm going to abstain from that.
That was kind of funny. Yeah, that would be good.
Thank you.
If anybody's interested, our council member is speaking on